welcome to another episode of the Rogue Startups Podcast with Craig Hewitt and Dave Rodenbaugh. This is a podcast documenting the journey as self-funded business founders and sharing lessons, tips, and tricks for businesses following the same path as ours. The journey is long and winding, but we're glad you're joining us for it. And now it's time to go rogue with Dave and Craig.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Rogue Startups Podcast. This is Craig Hewitt, and on we have Dave Rodenbaugh. Dave, how you doing?
I am doing fantastic. And yourself?
Man, I'm doing great. I am glad to be back on the mic with just you. The last three episodes in a row, we had guest interviews, and all of them were just stellar, I think. They were all really sort of inspiring and informational and action-oriented, but it's nice to be able to catch up. And I think we'll probably end up sort of digesting what we heard in the last couple of weeks as it pertains to our business, as it pertains to kind of what we think of the show, but also be nice to catch up about what's going on with our businesses too.
Oh yeah. I mean, talk about eating an elephant. You know, I felt like between the episode with Anders, especially the one with Anders, I thought, and then the episode with Chris, where, you know, we just got into these deep values discussions. I'm like, holy shit, this is some really intense stuff. And, you know, these are things that I wasn't necessarily thinking about before. And not to the degree that I think that Chris was, but, you know, it definitely made me stop and think, like, what is the filter that I want to be applying to all this stuff that's coming at me all the time? Like, is this critical? Is this important? I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And Chris's, you know, discussion of that in the last episode really made me sort of stand up and take notice of that. So yeah, I definitely want to talk more about that today for sure.
Yeah. And then definitely not to minimize the show with Pippin, where that was a real kind of business nuts and bolts kind of show more than the others. And they're all good for me. And they all, I think what I get out of podcasting is I don't necessarily listen to a show. I don't listen to like Rob and Mike, which is kind of where I got my podcasting start as a consumer. I don't listen to those guys and say, I'm going to go do what they did, but it triggers this thing in my head where I'm like, oh shit, that makes a lot of sense. But for my business, it's more like this, right? So it sparks a thought. And right. I hope that we got three very different interviews, and I hope that it was able to spark different thoughts for people as it relates to their businesses. And it's going to be different than what our guests were saying. And then today, probably sharing kind of what we take from each of them will maybe spark something a little different.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So you know, kind of how is, I guess, how are things going with SupportVine and what's the business up to?
Well, you know, that part of my life has actually been a little bit stressful and frustrating over the past 3 weeks, I'm sad to say. So I think the last episode that you and I gave updates, I talked about that I was doing this mini launch and I was going out there and I was basically rebranding SupportVine as this WordPress support solution. I did talk about that, right?
Yeah. Yep. That was the last one.
Yeah, sorry, my brain's a little foggy here after a day of work. So
that's what happens when you're out in California with medical marijuana licenses.
Yeah, but see, in Colorado, it's recreational. Oh, so you think I'd be more stoned there all the time than when I come out here to California. Like, this would be the time that I get a little more sober.
So
right?
Jealous.
Anyway, so the thing that I was really struggling with was, you know, how can I get the right niche of customers to launch this thing to? Because I really needed people with a specific need and a specific pain, because you can't just go out with a general solution. If you're marketing to everybody, then basically nobody feels like it's the solution for them. And when I went out to go and find that niche, I had a specific couple of things in mind. I went to startuplister.com. It was a great service. It was super easy. I listed my, we'll call it the alternate website. I don't want to call it the fake website because it really wasn't fake. I mean, I put a real landing page on there and everything. I just rebranded it with a slightly different name. And I put it out there to Startup Lister. And it took them a little while to kind of get things out. So, you know, it was interesting to find out how Startup Lister works and how these other services work and how quickly they respond and what kind of value you get out of the individual services and how much traffic you get out of them. And surprisingly, I didn't get huge bumps in traffic. And the one that I really wanted to get onto, I still haven't actually gotten approved on yet, and that was Product Hunt. So I still don't know exactly how long that's going to take. I haven't gotten the, hey, you want to pay us X amount of dollars and jump to the front of the line? But a couple of them have sent me those emails, and I've just gone ahead and paid them because they weren't like a terrible amount of money. It was like 10 bucks or 20 bucks, and everybody wants their little piece of the pie. But obviously you want to try to get as much attention as you can, and you know, if they actually generate traffic, then it was worth it. So this was more of an experiment for me of spending a little bit of money to find out what that promotion was like. So cut to the chase, it's been like 3.5, almost 4 weeks since I really started that whole effort. I've gotten a whopping 8 emails from my efforts to try to get this thing out there and target people. So of course, when I got those 8 emails, I was like, oh, I was really excited. And then that was it. And 2 of them are me and another guy in my mastermind. So that doesn't really even count. I really only got 6. So this is pretty pathetic, right?
Yeah. I mean, and, I shouldn't say yeah, but that's not what you were hoping for, I know.
No, it is absolutely, totally fucking pathetic. I mean, there's no other way to couch this. So of course, you know, aside from wanting to go cry in my beer, which I actually probably should go do at some point, I was thinking, all right, well, what the hell do I do now? So I talked with guys in my mastermind and I'm like, all right, what the hell, you know, should I do something different? And they were like, well, are your people that you're trying to target this to really the ones that are on these startup sites, you know, or can you find a more direct way to talk to them? And I was like,
smart.
Yeah, there's actually a better way to contact them. So, you know, I have other plugin developers that are friends and I could contact them directly. I was kind of saving that for the end so I could get like beta customers. I didn't want to do that with them initially, but the more I talked to these other guys, they're like, you really need that feedback. Find out if this is something that they want. And I'm like, okay, sure. So I basically, you know, one day I sent out 5 emails and contacted all of these guys. And I'm like, all right, here's what I'm branding this for. What do you guys think? And all of them came back, well, you know, we're actually kind of happy with what we were using right now. And, you know, it's got some okay WordPress integration for EDD and WooCommerce. And, you know, I'm getting what I want out of it now. You know, I don't really feel like there's any big pain point. So, of course, at this point, massive facepalm, right? Like, damn it. Okay, so this is not the niche that I can go and do. I'm like, oh, hell. So I've got that going on right now. That's clearly not where I can launch to. And I'm not really sure kind of what niche to launch into next if I'm going for the generic support tool. One thing that's painfully clear about Support Vine is that I'm going to be playing feature catch-up against the big boys for months. You know, if I were to go out there and launch and I go head to head with pretty much anybody, it doesn't even matter who it is at this point. They will have more than I have. And that's tough. That's really tough. I mean, you'll almost never win competitions like that. So until I spend, you know, another 12 months catching up on all these features that these other guys have, I'm not even going to be really in the running for that. So it's like, damn it. Well, so I'm considering whether I should actually pivot at this point or try to niche to a different group, but I still haven't quite figured out what that group is. So I'd say that's like my biggest struggle at this point. And of course, not knowing what you're supposed to be doing development wise, you know, I've been pushing my 2 developers to try to get things done by August 1st. So that's 4 days from now. And I gave them a list of basic functionality and they basically put it all together and they just pushed it out to the development server last night. I haven't had a chance to look at it yet. But based on my prior experience, there's probably some issues that I'm going to have to contend with in there. But when we get to August 1st, I had this sick feeling in the pit of my stomach. I'm basically have to say to these guys, look, I don't know if we're going to be continuing this project here or not, and I might have to pivot. And if I have to pivot, then I'm going to take 8 weeks to go do something else. So I'm going to have to let you guys go in that time. So, yeah. Yeah, so we're having some good times here at Support Vine in July.
Yeah, but you know, one of the things we kind of always have heard and learned, and the reason you're doing this customer development even at this point is find out what people want and what they're willing to pay for. I guess kind of regardless of where you are in the process, you should always be doing that to some extent, right? So the fact that you're finding that out now versus launching and then finding that out, you know, it's better now than later, right?
Oh, it absolutely is. But, you know, I'm actually very afraid to go to Upwork/Odesk and go back and figure out what I've sunk into contractors over the past 18 months
yeah.
that's gotten me to this point. And I'm like, oh, so I can't totally use that product yet. You know, that's, it's going to be scary. That's a story that, you know, on somebody else's podcast several years from now, it will be funny to talk about that. Right now, it's a little painful.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I hear you. I hear you. Yeah.
How about Podcast Motor? Talk to me about your awesome successes here to make me feel better that I can bask in somebody else's glow here.
You know, things are going great. I can't complain. Things are really going great. We signed up new customers every week and are getting into some new spaces, which is exciting.
Do you have that little cash register sound yet on computer?
No, so I guess the best news is we got our first actual funded startup as a customer, which is very cool. And I will share the name at the appropriate time. But it is gonna be a great show. I'm really excited about it. And the team behind the company is awesome. I know them a little bit. And so it's going to be a lot of fun to share kind of that with everybody here and with you, Dave, about, you know, what that show looks like going forward. But I think it's kind of for me, it's a landmark to say, all right, you know, we've had great customers before. We continue to have great customers, and more of the same kind of self-funded bootstrap type customers, you know, like you and me and Brennan Dunn and, you know, Brian and Jordan from Bootstrap Web and those guys that are kind of making it happen on their own. But now this is like a company of like 50, right? And they're doing their show just like, you know, HubSpot or Unbounce or Lead Pages or one of those. It's going to be a show a lot like that. And so it's cool to get into that realm. And I hope we're able to build on this momentum and, you know, kind of continue the progression of having the Podcast Motor name in this space and just in a slightly bigger and different kind of twist to it. So that's, I got to say, that's the coolest thing. That was huge.
Awesome. I mean, yeah. Virtual high five. That is amazing. Yeah. I can't wait to hear what the actual name of the customer is here. You've got me in suspense.
In suspense. And I guess another kind of, I guess is good and bad. Good that one of the shows that we do, and we sort of just picked up the James Altucher show about six weeks ago.
I think you had mentioned that on another podcast.
Yeah, so he's up for at Podcast Movement, which is kind of the big podcasting conference that's this weekend. He's up for Business Show of the Year, which is awesome. I mean, we can kind of ride his coattails a little bit just since we've been doing the show about 6 weeks. But it, you know, his show is great and it's really creative. I mean, he interviews drug dealers and, you know, all these kind of really bizarre types of people, and all has the same kind of theme, which is like choose yourself. That's kind of his saying. It's like, you know, don't worry about what everyone else is doing and what the society and all these you know, establishments say. Go kind of make what you want of the world. So that's all great. And the bad part of that, I guess, is I can't go to the conference. I would love to go to the conference. The producer for his show, who I've kind of been working with as a liaison, is going to be there and I can't go. So that's like kind of a bummer. We have family vacation planned.
Yeah, I've been seeing that, the posts on the group on Facebook, and everybody's getting geared up for it. It definitely looks pretty exciting. So is this going to be like if you worked with, you know, Tom Hanks and Tom Hanks wins an Oscar, now you can say worked with Oscar award winning, you know, actors, and you can say worked with award winning podcasts now. Is that what you're going to put on the
I
podcast?
Guess. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. But you know, so, but that brings up a good point is I think about kind of where we are and where we need to be as a business. And I feel like we have such great customers and we're getting new customers, hopefully because of the good work we're doing, that I feel like the name and the reputation is kind of organically growing, which is great. Cause then it doesn't cost anything. I don't do paid advertising or a bunch of SEO work. I mean, we have the blog going, we have two different groups of people writing for the blog. I just, in the last few weeks, launched our own podcast called Podcastonomics. And so we're building social presence that way, but then working with James Altucher and working with, you know, all these big names that we work with in our space is kind of growing the brand for us. So that's very cool.
Yep. There's no greater power than the power of a network and the power of word of mouth. So that's awesome that you've got both of those working for you. I'm super excited about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's, you know, as a service-based business, it's kind of a constant struggle to stay ahead of the workload curve. And it's essentially all I do, which is good, I guess. I mean, working on the business, really. and trying to bring on more people and bring on really good people and come up with processes and procedures and automation for that. So I spent like 3 hours yesterday while the kids are watching a movie in Zapier and just doing all sorts of craziness with Dropbox and Trello and Gmail and all this kind of stuff. So that's getting super automated, which is cool. So
can we just have a moment of love for Zapier?
It's just amazing. I
love Zapier. It is amazing. Now, I first became aware of it when my developers basically were like, okay, you want this stuff in Trello and you want it to come over from GitHub. Why don't we just use Zapier? And this was, you know, several years ago. I'm like, what the hell is Zapier? So they actually showed me what it was and they configured it and set it all up. I'm like, holy shit, that's amazing. And we didn't have to like do any crazy, you know, custom script here and install this here. It was just, you know, pull this key and do this, set up a webhook, boom, done. And it just works. I'm like, damn, that is impressive. You know, so major props to the Zapier guys, because I love your shit.
Yeah, I know. No doubt. No doubt. And actually, I guess for anyone who's listening, if there's any Zapier experts, there are some things I'm running into that don't work kind of out of the box. So if there's anybody in there that has done a lot of work with Zapier, I would be interested in talking to you. Hit us up on Twitter at Rogue Startups. I'd like to do some different things that the Zaps right out of the box don't do, and I don't know how to do it. So anyways, running into some sort of questions there with Zapier, but I mean, it's just taking one more thing off my plate is great. So
yeah, totally.
It's very cool. It's very cool. And I guess kind of, you know, coming full circle a little bit, you know, getting back to, you know, the things that we talked to the last couple of guests about, you know, that was kind of the thing that I took away from the call with Chris. Like you said, getting like core values and processes and a real establishment around your business. I kind of left that call saying to myself, like, what the fuck am I doing moving files in Dropbox and creating Trello cards? If I want to have a seven-figure business, I have to do none of that. Not a little, but none. And I can't even really be exposed to any of the day-to-day work in the business. I have to be selling and talking to customers, doing marketing, but also just like growing the business. And I think that's it's something that exists on levels, you know, but to the level that he does it, I really wasn't even aware, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he clearly has got it taken to a whole new level, but I think that has a lot to do with just the number of businesses he's brought in. And my experience, when I bought a business, you spend so much time familiarizing yourself and you get to see it with that beginner's mind and you look at it for that one moment and go, oh, I don't need to be doing that right there. Or that could be automated. Or, you know, that looks like a really manual intensive process. How can we make that easier? But once you are in the middle of that, it's very hard to get that perspective anymore. But I think that this is, you know, me reading between the lines and taking my own experience into account. I think because Chris has acquired these businesses, he now walks in, sees that. And the first thing he does is automate this, put this on a list, make sure I got somebody in place to do this, simplify that, and just streamline everything up front, you know?
Yeah. No, and I would just add one thing to that is that he probably doesn't have some of the emotional attachment that technically minded people have to the details.
Oh, so, absolutely,
you know,
not.
He just walks in with a gun and just says, that's stupid, don't do that anymore. This has to be done with Zapier, do this, outsource this to, you know, our VA in the Philippines, do that. Without, you know, thought of, you know, if there's a 0.5% of quality degrade, it's not the end of the world, right?
Right. And I would go so far as to say, I don't even think it's just technical people. Like, if you start a business, there are certain things you are really attached to about that.
Yeah.
And he walks in with none of those attachments and looks at it with this outsider's perspective. So it doesn't matter whether it's technical or non-technical. I'm pretty sure he's got a very objective and experienced viewpoint on that helps him just sort of say, here's what's important, here's what's not, this needs to be fixed, this just needs to be automated, blah blah blah. So
yeah. And I guess, you know, one more thing about Chris, I guess is I'm seriously considering going to Rhodium Weekend this year. It's in what, October, November, out in Vegas. And I guess I'm feeling a little remorse for not going to Podcast Movement. I am going to MicroConf Europe end of next month, about a month from now. And that's going to be a great time, I know. And I think it would just be the sense I get from our call and from kind of reading some of the stuff on the site is it's kind of like just a big business mastermind group, which is the same thing MicroConf is, but I get the sense that Rhodium is more of a pure business play and less of maybe like a tactics and technical topic.
And I would probably say it's less software-y. Like, but MicroConf is very software-y. Like, a lot of people with software businesses come there. But it sounds to me like Rhodium Weekend is more about people that are more, like you said, business-oriented. And it doesn't really matter what that business is. You know, I'm sure that there is a strong internet marketer component that's there, but I doubt that it's exclusively that. I'm strongly considering going to it as well. There's a possible conflict with my kids' fall break that I've got to work out and see if I can make happen. But pending that, I would like to try to go. So
yeah, you know, because I think about like, and we've talked about this a little bit before, but what are we doing this for? And we're doing this for freedom and the choice to have our own time and work on things we really want to do. At the same time, I know you and I both would love to make a ton of money, right? And I think everyone would love to make a ton of money. And I think the only way you can do that is to really have a really solid, efficient, growth-oriented company. And I guess that's a little bit of feedback that I would give a lot of podcasts and people talking about self-funded startups is they don't really talk about how can I have a $1 million company.
Yeah.
I don't hear that much. I mean, we talk about $10,000 or $20,000 a month and that's great, but what about like $100,000 a month? And that crossing that divide is a huge deal. I know. And it's a whole different conversation, a whole different way you approach things. But I guess for me, if I'm going to start this, that should be the goal kind of.
I think it's good to have that stretch goal like that. But for me, it has to be what's the next achievable step that I can get. You know, you don't start off and go, I want to make $50,000 a month. Because if you go from zero, you know, if that's your next goal, I mean, you're going to be frustrated in 6 months flat, maybe 6 days. I don't know what's going to be. But my mindset is like, how do I get to that first 500 and then 1,000 and then 10,000 and, you know, so on and so forth. So there's a next step up each time. So I'm taking it up incrementally, but, you know, I have something in mind that's a further goal down the road. I'll call that a stretch goal. So I think that's true. I think there's value in having both. But you got to make sure that, you know, you're hitting the step goals before you hit the stretch goals. You know, you're not going to get to the stretch goal if you don't do the steps, basically.
Yeah, no doubt. That's very true. And I think that the momentum of accomplishing those steps along the way is huge in ultimately getting to that stretch goal. I think you as much as you can stair step or whatever you want to call it, your way towards $100,000 a month by getting to 10 and 20 and 30 and 50 and do it in a logical way that makes sense for you and your business isn't as relatively organic, or organic meaning sort of like making sense and not these great unit steps in development or progress or products or anything like that. I think that's, for me, that's how I would envision it working.
Right.
But so, you know, one of the things that we took, I know we both talking after the call with Chris, we took away a lot was his approach to values.
Yeah, I would say that's probably one of the more – and that gets back to Anders as well. I mean, he referred to it in his manifesto. But Chris specifically had, you know, let's call it a better system, I think, for applying that. You know, I don't want to take away from Anders' manifesto in any way because it was very strong and powerful, and I referred to it just before we started on this podcast here. But Chris had, you know, a list of three core values that he basically pulls out anytime he's got – something to think about or something that is causing problems in the business or considering whether he wants to do it for the business or not. And if it doesn't fit under one of those three values, it gets tossed. And that's just beautiful. I mean, it's simple, it's powerful, it's effective, it keeps you focused. But of course, you have to find what those core values are and what makes the most sense for your business. So I remember two of Chris's. I don't remember the third one, unfortunately, but one of them was performance and the other one was consistency. And that's what he's looking for when he's going out and finding a particular business. And if it doesn't have those two, then it's not something he's interested in. And if it doesn't fit into those things, if those things aren't present in there, then it doesn't really fit into his portfolio. And the other one, I don't remember exactly what the name of the value was, but it basically had something to do with purpose, right? Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to, he started out with AdSense sites, and I share his thoughts on the AdSense sites there. It feels great when you're collecting the first couple of months' paychecks, and then after that, you're like, what is this really doing for the world here? What am I making anything better? I mean, Google's paying me. That's cool. But what else? You know, there's nothing else to it here. So he needs something that it provides some value to the world. I guess that's the best way to put it. So those three values are extremely powerful for not only in his case acquiring the products, but deciding, is what I'm doing one of the things that's going to enhance one of these values that I have in the business. So, that's a pretty powerful mechanism and tool to bring into your life. And I feel like that's one thing that, I've kind of lacked in what I've done with the plugins and Support Vine. I mean, I kind of have some of these vague things, but I don't have a written list of like three or four values that I can stick up on a monitor and look at that anytime I've got something to work on and say, is this really one of these four values right now? Because if it isn't, I can throw it out. Do you have anything like that?
No, I hadn't even thought about it this time last week. And I've thought about it a lot since then, and more in bringing people onto the team than on how I'm running the business. I mean, I feel like I have my values and the values that I have for the business, but communicating them and how we approach things with the team, for me, I guess a podcast motor is the place where I am going to write out these values. I am going to write out our mission and our goals, and I want to share it with the team because I want to be able to say to them, hey, when you guys work on something, and I mean, some of the guys we have working 20 hours a week, when you guys are working on something, this should be kind of how you think of your podcast motor work. And this, because this is how I think about it, and this is how I want our customers to think about it. I don't know. I guess the reason I want to do that is want them to think about quality and thoughtfulness and creativity, I guess, a little bit too, in the sense that they need to take pride in what they're doing. Not that people don't, but if you have it written out and people that work with you and for you know, hey, this is how seriously he takes this stuff, they probably will too. I don't know. Do you feel like you would share yours with your contractors and like your VA and people that work in the business with you?
I would. I absolutely would. And like you, I've done a very poor job of that. When I was concocting the Support Vine about page, there was a section in the optimized press template that I was using there. It talked about your mission and your values and stuff like that. And so I just took kind of a wild stab at it there. And, I'm looking at the four things that I listed here, which was do the right thing, even if it's hard, listen to you, our customer, move fast, but fix things quickly, create a great tool that people love to use. That's a very externally focused set of things. And it doesn't really, if I gave that to my contractors that are currently working on Support Vine, they'd probably, maybe the first one would actually resonate and the third one probably as well. But the other two, they're, it's pretty vague. Create a great tool. Well, nobody wants to build a shitty tool, right?
Yeah.
So, it's not something really actionable. And it kind of made me think that maybe these just aren't strong enough. And, what would I want to share with my team to help guide them in their work and to guide me in my decisions? And I'm still kind of forming that. Have you come up with anything yourself?
I have a little bit, and I, it's funny, it comes from different places. So we, Podcast Motor, is going to be a sponsor at MicroConf Europe, and Xander emailed this week and said, can you send a little blurb describing your business and what you do? And so, it wasn't just the blurb off the front of the website, and so I customized it a little bit, and I don't have the email right in front of me. I don't remember what I said, but it did have some more of the quality and the greater purpose, I guess, of what we do as a company and what we do to allow the business owners and the people running the podcast to do. So it was cool to be able to think about it for that purpose. And I'll reuse some of that for what I end up putting together for the team. But I want it to be inspirational, really, I guess, is kind of what I keep thinking to myself. Is I think about people going to work for Google and people going to work for Zapier or Buffer or whoever, to be able to say, this is why my company rocks so much and why I put in 60 hours a week and get paid not as much as I could somewhere else, because everything about it is great. And I think starting with vision, mission, and goals could be that place. And then from there, as a business owner, the job is really ours to say, these aren't just words, these are things we live by, and these are the guiding principles, the guiding light, right? That's what Chris said. This is the guiding light that governs every decision we make and every person we bring on the team and every strategic decision or acquisition or customer we decide to take on or not. So that there aren't any surprises, I think. That's part of it. It's like, I want everyone to not be surprised by work to an extent, right? I mean, I want it to be exciting and new, but I want every time I kind of, you know, tell them about a new customer or a decision we're going to make or a product we're going to release, I want them to say, sure, that makes sense. That's in line with everything else we've done and the types of things we stand for. Because I feel like one of the things that I'm realizing people really want is predictability, whether it's schedule or workload or types of things they're doing. It they don't really mind what the work is as long as they kind of know what it's going to be.
Right. I would think that predictability might be a great value to have internally and externally on Podcast Motor, because obviously your customers are going to care about predictability as well. Hey, I submit your show, my show to you on Wednesday, and I know that I'm going to get it back by Saturday and it's going to be published on Tuesday or something like that. You know, that is something that they just come to expect, and it's not something that they have to worry about. And it might be an objection that people have if they're signing up. Well, I'm not sure how predictable you guys are. You know, I've never worked with you before. So maybe that's something to throw out there in the testimonials, for example. But I can see that you would want, you know, the same thing with your contractors, because they want to know, all right, this is what I'm going to be working on this week. I've got this many podcasts. I've got this much editing to do. I've got these to upload and blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. So anyways, it's definitely just a ton of food for thought, right?
Absolutely. Yeah,
let me throw it back at you a little. So, you know, potentially looking at pivoting, does constructing a core set of values for Support Vine potentially offer you the chance to kind of craft where the business is going a little bit? So you're saying right now, well, we're not quite right for WordPress support, but these five things are really important to me. And listing out those five things might allow you to say to yourself, wow, this is all these five things are saying X, and X might be pretty different than what you're doing now.
Well, you know, right now, what I'm thinking of for the pivot, which I'm not quite ready to share yet, since I'm not sure if that's going to work or not, is still within the support space. So it doesn't feel like the pivot is going to be like 180 degrees from where I'm at, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm building, you know, who knows what.
Pinterest.
I'm building Pinterest. Yeah, because that one hasn't worked out so well. I decided I'd become a competitor to Pinterest. Our next show will be how Dave squanders his entire life savings trying to replicate Pinterest. Yeah. And the subsequent divorce of his currently loving and supportive wife, who actually likes Pinterest better than him. So clearly I'm not going to step so far out of the support space that that's necessarily the case, but maybe some of those values would guide what makes sense within even what I'm doing now for support. You know, thinking about some of the things that Chris had said, you know, performance was something that was important for his portfolio. I don't know that that's equivalently important to support, but consistency is. Like, sure, you want your support tool to be absolutely dead on consistent all the time. You don't want it to go down. You want it to be available. You want it to be reliable. You want to be able to trust it. So that obviously makes sense no matter what you're doing within support, right? And there are some other things, like I'm looking at a core values list that I found on the web here. And the very first one in the list is above and beyond. Like, I would want to be known as a service that goes above and beyond for customers. Now, that's more of a forward-looking thing, because it's hard to go above and beyond when you don't have anybody to go above and beyond for just yet. But that's what I strive for in the plugins today. When somebody contacts me, I try to wow them. You know, I try to find a wow moment. Whatever that might be, it might be responding super quickly. It might be giving them their answer fast. It, you know, giving them a more detailed answer than they were probably expecting, giving them a little bit of custom development help if it's something that's pretty quick and easy, those things I know help generate 5-star reviews, which then turns around and improves my sales. So, you know, it's definitely a core value that I have with the plugins, although I haven't necessarily articulated it as such, but it's definitely something culturally I've, you know, tried to embody both personally and in my two support guys that are doing that. So, you know, things like that might affect it, but it's hard to say without actually going through the exercise of deciding what those values are at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be interesting. I'd like to touch on this again, maybe next week. We'll have our homework of getting vision, mission, and goals set. And, you know, we'll publish them along with the show notes for next week or for this episode. We can publish them, you know, for next Monday. But I'd like to share those with people and then kind of circle back just real quick, I think, at next episode and kind of say, what did that make us each feel about how we conduct our business and where our products are going?
Yeah. Yeah.
And we'll link this list that you're referring to. It's from threadsculture.com. It's a list of core values list with 500 examples. And 500 is a lot of examples, but again, one might kind of spark an idea for you to say, oh yeah, that really applies to my business and my products and the people I'm working with and the team and things like that. So we'll link up this article as well.
Yeah, I think that sounds good. And before we wrap up today, I actually wanted to throw a shout out to one of our 5-star reviews on iTunes from High Pitch here, who said, an awesome startup podcast. I found this awesome podcast while researching for WordPress plugin ideas. Very informative. Just what I needed to know on how to build successful businesses on the side. Highly recommend. So thank you very much, High Pitch. We appreciate that. If anybody else is out there and feels the same way, we always appreciate reviews on iTunes, either positive or negative, so you can tell us what we need to do better or tell us what you really like. Either way is good.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. All right, man. I think we'll call it a day.
All right. That sounds good. Until next week.
All right. Thanks.
And that's our episode for this week. If you have any questions or comments, please let us know at podcast@roguestartups.com. Subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for Rogue Startups. And be sure to visit roguestartups.com for full show notes on each episode. If you're enjoying the show, we'd sure appreciate a review in iTunes. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.